Now, though, it's time to talk gadgets with the gadget detective himself. Fevzi is on hand to offer you advice on any sort of technology. What this man doesn't know is not worth knowing. Lots of people already getting in touch, Fevzi. If you want to call, you can. The number 03459570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Let's crack on then. This one from Malky. He wants to know, Fevzi, if you could recommend a fitness band.
Well, that's quite a wide question. That's like saying, can you recommend a car? It really depends what you're looking for. There are all manner of devices, from the very simple that will do not much more than count the number of steps you take. Then they'll start monitoring heartbeat, and others will do sleep and other vital signs. One of the best recognized and sort of good ones in terms of bang for buck would be one of the Fitbit range. That's Fitbit. So that would be, I would say, at the middle range. I personally wouldn't go for one that was, you know, too cheap. I'd look for one that's about £50 upwards.
Okay. So what do these things do? What kind of information do they impart?
Well, they do various things. I mean, some of them will, as I say, will just work out how far you've walked and set you a target and so forth. Others will...
Is that not a pedometer?
It is effectively a pedometer. That's the most basic one, yeah. But then you go up a bit and they monitor things like your heartbeat, for example. So they'll try and set you exercises to get your heartbeat up to a certain rate and keep it there. The Apple Watch, which is another example of a high-end device that does much more than just fitness. That one will, for example, monitor if you've been sitting on your bottom for too long, and it will advise you to get up and walk around. So they do various things. For me, which is akin to fitness but not in the traditional sense, are the ones that deal with sleep, and the ones that will tell you how much good sleep you're getting. Because often we think we're sleeping better than we are, that sometimes the quality of our sleep is less, because you know that there are different types of sleep, and some sleep is essential for your body. There's been some research, for example, that suggests that one of the causes of forms of dementia is that we don't sleep enough, and it takes about 7 hours to clear certain chemicals out of our brain, and that's only done during REM sleep. So, you know, it depends what you mean by fitness. The direction in which these things are going, which is where Apple is taking it and some others, I think is fascinating, because what they're actually doing is not just trying to keep us physically fit, but actually monitor our health in many different ways. So that, for example, there's an app that you can get for your smartphone now that will spot the early signs of Parkinson's disease. It can spot it from the tremor in your hand when you're holding the phone, through to the tremor in your voice when you're speaking. So there's those sorts of early diagnostic things. And also these devices that can be connected to your doctor, so that they can monitor how you're doing. If you've got a heart condition or various other conditions, they'll be able to monitor how you're doing and call you in if something starts to, you know, go a bit awry before it becomes a major problem. So fantastic direction they're going in. My short advice to you is check out the Fitbits, because they're a good combination of functionality and value for money.
Have you got one of these fit bands?
I don't.
You don't want something to tell you. You've been sat on your bottom for too long, Fevzi. Get up.
I've been sat on my bottom for too long.
I don't need anyone pointing that out to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because it's a bit like sat nav. Some people take them and some people find them rather naggy.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, this sort of wearable technology and eventually implanted technology is the future.
Implanted technology. See, that just scares me. I'm such a Luddite.
We're the last generation of pure humans. We'll be technically cyborgs after this.
Oh, don't. This from someone on the text line. Do they make an adapter from SCART to HDMI, as my new TV has no SCART socket to attach a Freeview recording box?
Okay, yes, there are adapters that do that. So just to maybe explain what goes behind that question. So older TVs and video recorders and camcorders used analog technology. So they'd use one connector for video and a pair of connectors for stereo, and that was all analog. And that's fine, but digital is better. It's cleaner. It's less likely to get garbled. Now HDMI is what you find on modern devices. It's a single socket that carries digital video and digital sound. So they are like chalk and cheese. Now there are devices that will convert the analog into digital, and it will make it compatible. But don't think that will mean that you get the quality of HDMI. You can never improve, you can never put more quality than in there than is already in there from the original signal. It will make it compatible so you can connect them, but it'll still look like an old bit of kit.
Another question in on the text line: could you help with my chargeable work light? The charger works, I checked with my multimeter, but the battery is flat as it flashes once or twice, then nothing. Please advise.
Right, okay. I mean, it depends on how old this is, but batteries, rechargeable batteries, are typically lithium-ion batteries these days, and they have a life. And by that, I don't mean how many hours they last on a charge, but how many times you can recharge them before their capacity starts to diminish. And it's the same with your mobile phone, it's the same with your tablet, and often these batteries aren't removable, so the device has a life.
That might explain my mobile phone issue then. It's completely lost charge. So yeah. I can have 100% first thing in the morning, and by mid-morning it's gone.
How old is the phone?
Couple of years.
Yeah. So that, you see, a lithium-ion battery, you typically get about, it depends on the battery, but say about 300 recharge cycles before you start to lose your 100% capacity. So after 200 or 300 recharge cycles, you might find that, you know, maximum capacity is now maybe 90% or 80% of what it was, and that will continue to drop until eventually the battery will take no charge at all. So unfortunately, that's the issue. Phones and other devices used to all have replaceable batteries, and you could just buy one and pop one in, and that would be that. And actually, you could carry a spare one. But these days, you know, because people like sort of slinky stuff and manufacturers like to make them that way, they often seal the battery in. So iPhones, iPads, all sorts of other phones and other devices have sealed batteries. So then you have to take it back to the shop, and they'll send it to the manufacturer and they do it. And often that's not cost effective. Depends on the device. It's worthwhile on an iPhone, but it might not be worthwhile on a portable light. So my question is, how old is it? If it's a year or two, it's probably the natural aging of the battery. If it's less than a year or two, then I would take it up with initially with the retailer, and eventually they will take it up with the manufacturer, because sometimes batteries don't perform for as long as they should do. And even if it's out of warranty, if you can support your assertion that it's an inherent fault, that battery must always have been faulty because it's not lasted as long as it should have done, then you've still got rights even outside your warranty period.
It's worth knowing. Talking of batteries, there's nothing more frustrating than your battery running out on your mobile phone, and it always tends to happen at the most inconvenient time, you know. So you've broken down by the side of the road, guess what, you've got no battery. But you can come to our rescue with your gadget of the week.
I can. It's from a company called Tilt, which is spelt with a Y, so it's T-Y-L-T. It's a gadget called the Energy 12K, and it's a portable power bank, and it's specifically designed to charge up your gadgets, be it your smartphone, your tablet, even some laptops like the new MacBook, for example, can be charged from this. Some cameras, radios, they increasingly have these USB or micro USB charging sockets on them. And this device, it's about 4 inches by 3 inches, you know, so it's a bit larger than a bar of soap. It's quite chunky. But the really good thing about it is it will it's got enough charge in it. I worked it out. If you had, for example, one of the newly launched iPhone SEs, it would charge one of those from dead up to completely full 7 times over, and still have some charge to spare. So, but you wouldn't necessarily, I mean, that would keep your phone going for more than a week. So if you were, for example, traveling and you weren't sure that you were always going to have access to a PowerPoint or, you know, during the journey. And the really nice thing I like about it, it's got 3 sockets on it. I'm holding it now. I'll hold it to the microphone so you can see it. I've got 3 sockets on this. So, you know, there's
you can charge your friends' phones as well.
But it's like social graces, because someone was saying this to me the other day. He said one of his friends said, "Oh, can I charge up on your power bank?" And he said, no, I have to do it myself." And it was this awkward moment. But with this, you've got three.
Who's going to get the charge?
Yeah, so it's good for sort of families or just people who've got, you know, a tablet, a smartphone, and maybe another gadget. You can charge all three at once. One of the sockets in particular is great for tablets because it gives you rapid charging as well. So that's the Tilt Energy 12K. Price is about £55. The reason for that is because of the capacity. There are others in the range and other manufacturers also. You can get lower capacities. This is 12,000 milliamp hours, hence the name 12K. Oh, and little lights along the side tells you how much charge left inside the power bank itself.
Yeah, all I would say is I got a similar device from my brother-in-law at Christmas. You do have to remember to bring it with you. Because now they get so annoyed at me. They're like, "We bought you something so that you wouldn't be uncontactable. You can just plug it in and recharge it." But of course, then I forget to put that in my handbag as well. And then I can't charge anything. So, you know.
So you need a gadget to remind you.
I need a gadget, yeah. I'm sure there probably is. There'll be an app available. If you have a question for Fevzi, you can get in touch. The number 03459570057. Or you can text the word radio followed by your message to 81333. Don't forget as well, you can listen to the tech phone in at your convenience via the BBC's Let's Talk About Tech podcast. You can even go back and listen to tech phone-ins from earlier weeks. And you can also follow Fevzi at Gadget Detective on Twitter and get free tech advice there. But if you've got a question for him now, do call the number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. We're talking gadgets and technology with Fevzi the Gadget Detective. If you have a question for him, do get in touch. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. So this is a bit of a scary story. Fevzi, the ransomware that knows where you live.
Yes, okay. So first of all, it's worth explaining what ransomware is. What ransomware is a particularly nasty type of infection that can curse a computer. And the reason why it's called ransomware is what it does is, unbeknownst to you, if your computer becomes infected, it encrypts, that's to say it scrambles every file on your system, which includes, you know, any photos that you may treasure, any, you know, that novel that you've been writing for the last 2 years and haven't got a backup of, your music collection, everything, every single file gets encrypted, scrambled. And then once it's done that job, it pops up and says, "Guess what? This is what I've just done. And if you don't pay a ransom," hence ransomware, you will never get your data back. And if you pay, they say that they will give you a key to decrypt it. And to give you an idea of the sort of money that they're after, the ransom is in bitcoins because it's hard to trace. That's a sort of electronic currency. If you pay within the first 3 days, it's the equivalent of $588, and then 3 to 6 days, nearly $800, rising up to over $1,600 if you take 15 days to pay the ransom.
Wow.
So they're ratcheting up the pressure.
Now, do you know people this has happened to?
I've had an email of this nature myself, and I'll give you some advice about this. So people are getting emails because the infection has to get on your system in one way or another. One way, but not the only way in which they do it, is by sending you an email and asking you to click on a link. And first of all, don't click on links in emails. I know it's tempting, even if you think you know who the email is from, do not click on the link, okay? Don't do it. The next thing is, have up-to-date antivirus and anti-spyware running on your system. And this particular email, by the way, so it says, "Oh, you owe money to a particular company. Click on this attachment to show you the invoice." And of course, most people being told that they owe money would open that.
Do you know what? I've had one of those emails.
Yes, and because they have your, in this one has your name and your address, so it looks very convincing. If you get anything like this, either delete it straight away. If you think there's any chance it's true, the company is named in the email, find the company and telephone them. You know, but really, it won't be true, and you know, let any legitimate invoicer contact you in another way. But the most important thing is this, okay? Because you can never be 100% sure you won't get this infection, because there are other ways where you do nothing and it still ends up on your system. Do regular backups of your system. Back up everything that you cannot afford to lose. Back it up regularly and back it up more than once. Okay? And one of those backups, I mean at a time, and one of those backups, keep it detached from the computer, because if you back up to an external hard drive connected, you know, using a cable, just connecting it to the computer, if you leave it attached and then whilst it's attached your computer's infected, it will scramble all of the data on the backup as well. So what you do is you take it off. The general rule of thumbs about backup, Alison, anyway, is that you take one backup and you keep it what's called off-site. So if we're talking about your home, don't leave it in your home, because if there's a break-in and they steal things and your backup drive is next to your computer, they can steal that as well. If there's a fire or a flood, you could lose your backup as well. So what some people do is they back up into the cloud. That's to say onto the internet. Some people don't like to do that. Other people, they'll back up onto a drive and then put it in their workplace, away from their home, or you know, with a family member, just so that they have something they can go back to. Now, it's a pain, but there is always this balance between convenience and security. All the way through computing and technology, you always get this: how convenient is it, how secure am I? You can use programs, like there's one called Acronis, for example, that does backups that will allow you to schedule those backups automatically, which will take some of the pain out of it. But I would put it to you this way: take a look on your computer this afternoon, look at what's on it, and think about, just imagine, do a thought experiment. How would I feel if that was gone forever, suddenly? What would that do to me, my business, my family? You know, maybe pictures of a departed loved one, maybe all the people that owe your business money and you can't ever get paid.
Yeah.
It could put you out of business. You know,
a lot of information nowadays on our computers is so worth protecting. So what would you suggest, going to buy like a kind of a portable drive or something?
Yeah, I'd get, I mean, the good thing is these little portable drives are cheap as chips now. You can get them for, you know, like £30 or so will cover easily the capacity of most modern computers. So you can get one of those. Get one with a USB 3 connection on it. Even if your computer today doesn't have USB 3, most do, but even if it doesn't, because you'll get the speed benefit of USB 3 when you go to a faster computer in the future, or just a more modern one. So get one of those, do a backup to it. I'd get a couple of those, keep one beside you, give one to your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, and just ask them to hold on to it. You can encrypt the data, so you don't have to worry about them looking at what's on it, but it's just another form of safety.
I love that. Don't even trust your family.
you know what they say in security circles, there's an acronym, TNO, and it stands for Trust No One.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's what we've come to. Brilliant.
That's where we are. Yeah. You don't have to tell them it's encrypted. Just no. Say, I trust you with this.
Yes, look after it for me.
Look deep into their soulful eyes, as you say.
Yeah. Tell us more about this phone that features two camera sensors.
Right. Okay, so this is a smartphone. Lots of smartphones have two cameras, one on the front, one on the back. That's not what we're talking about. This is a new camera just out 2 days ago, announced 2 days ago, from a company called Huawei.
I'm glad you pronounced that, not me.
And I think that's more or less correct. It's Huawei. It's a Chinese company.
Say it again.
Huawei.
You're very good at that. Huawei.
You've got to give a bit of breath to
Huawei. Yeah, it's good.
And it's the P9. Thank you. I do my best. It's the P9, and it's their brand new smartphone. And on the back of it are two Leica cameras, and they're actually Leica branded. And for those that don't know, Leica is probably one of the two best names in optics in the world. They produce some of the best lenses in the world, and Huawei have managed to get a couple of these lenses on the back. So two cameras. Why do you need two cameras? It's a very unusual design. One is color, one is black and white, but that doesn't mean it takes black and white pictures. What it does is, once you've taken a photo of something, the software combines the data from the two cameras. So the black and white camera gives you greater definition, greater low light capability, and the color camera gives you obviously the color rendition. Those two are combined and you get superior pictures, but it doesn't end there. Because you've got two cameras, rather like the fact we've got two eyes, you get depth of field. You understand how far away things are. If you shut one eye and try and grab a glass in front of you, it becomes kind of tricky. Same for cameras. If they've got two eyes, if you like, two cameras, then you can do some clever tricks. You can choose, after you've taken the photo, which part of the photo you wanted to be in focus. Yeah, so you can correct that. You can choose what's called the depth of field. That's to say how much of the depth of the from what point from you to what point from you is in focus. So if you have a very shallow depth of field, that's when you get that effect where, you know, it looks like a professional photo where the background is all blurred. It's something called bokeh. Photographers will know about that. So you can just have like one person very sharp in the foreground and their background just blurred out, so it brings them into sharp focus. Or you could make a very great depth of field where everything from right in front of you to right off in the distance is in focus. Now, these sorts of parameters, this focal point and depth of field, these are the things that professional photographers spend fortunes in lenses to be able to get these effects optically. But by having two cameras and some very smart software, they're able to give you the same effect, and it's mimicking the eyes in many ways. So in the human eye, we have two types of sensor, one that does black and white rods and cones and one that does color, and we have two eyes that give us depth of field. And it's interesting that the technology starts to mimic some of the attributes of our own vision.
Gosh, I wonder what, as you mentioned, professional photographers make of it. Could do them out of business, no?
Well, you know, a lot of the trick of a professional photographer is to frame a picture correctly and actually see a picture, you know, in their mind before they take it. But you know,
and as yet, technology can't do that.
Well, yes, but that will come.
Oh no! Stop the clock.
But,
turn,
you know,
back the clock.
But the creativity. You know, it means that you can continue to be creative after you take the picture. It's not, yes, you can correct out of focus pictures, fine, but you can have some very creative effects. So, for example, you can make the foreground, like the person you've taken a picture of, in colour, and you can not only throw the background out of focus, or you can make it of subdued colour or even black and white.
Gosh, and so I remember the days when you take your pictures, you take them down to Boots, you'd wait a couple of weeks to have them developed, and there'd probably be one that was any good out of 30. Fevzi, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Fevzi, the Gadget Detective. Follow him on Twitter and get free tech advice at Gadget Detective.